Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 149 of the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to do a special podcast today. Throughout this week, we have been publishing the Ankeny Fanatic all-time Ankeny softball team. We announced the third team on Monday and the second team on Wednesday. And we're actually recording this podcast on Thursday afternoon with two of the members of the first team, which will be announced on Friday. My first guest today was a three-time All-State first baseman at Ankeny. She helped the Hawkettes to the Class 5A state title in 2012 when she batted .544 with 12 home runs and 45 RBIs and was named the Class 5A Player of the Year. She then went on to have an outstanding career at Iowa State, where she ranks third in Cyclone history with 38 home runs and was a first-team All-Midwest region and first-team All-Big 12 pick during her career. She is Allie Cappert. Allie, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on being named to our all-time team. It was certainly well-deserved. Had you ever thought about, you know, how your career stacked up against some of Ankeny's other all-time greats?
You know, I really hadn't, and I saw that you were kind of compiling this for other sports and then really kind of sat and thought about it, about all the great players that Ankeny has in the softball history. So it was kind of neat to see where I ranked out there, where where some of those others ranked out, and really, really neat list overall.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there are eight former Ankeny players in the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union Softball Hall of Fame, and six of those players made our first team. That was pitchers Deb Schneider and Jenny Voss, second baseman Sue Frederick, shortstops Connie and Mary Yorey, and outfielder Carlin Hayes. The other two Hall of Famers are catcher Amy Farmer and first baseman Sherry Anderson, who were both named to our second team. Now, when I first started putting this team together, you know, I thought it might be possible to put all eight of the Hall of Famers on the first team, and that would kind of make some sense. But then I realized that your former teammate, Kendall Lindemann, had to be the first team catcher, you know, because she's eventually going to be in the Hall of Fame. And, of course, she's the all-time home run leader. And she ended up being our co-captain along with Connie Yorey. And then when I looked at your career stats, you know, I just felt like you had to be our first team first baseman. You know, I'm guessing you'll be in the Hall of Fame someday as well. What would that mean to you if you're inducted into the Iowa Girls, you know, Softball Hall of Fame?
Wow. Really haven't thought of it until that point. That would be such an honor. And those eight names from Ankeny that are there, extremely well deserved. I mean, I don't know how many state titles between the eight of them, so I only have one state title, but would be quite an honor if that does eventually happen someday.
Let's take a look back at your career. You batted .411 as a freshman in 2009 while helping the Hawkettes to a 25-14 record, and that was the best season for the program since 2001. Ankeny was coming off four straight losing seasons from 2005 to 2008, and you would have been in fifth through eighth grades at that point. So did you kind of sense that the program was turning around under Coach Farmer, because she took over in 2008?
We really did. So when we found out in 2008 that Amy Farmer was coming back to be the head coach, so she had played really before any of us were there watching any games. So we heard that there was a good former player coming back to coach. We really hadn't heard who it was. We found out it was Amy Farmer. And then when we started digging a little bit, we're like, wow, she was like good. She was a great ball player. So we were all really excited. And that group of girls, when I was in ninth grade all the way through 12th grade, I mean, we had played ball together all growing up. We knew we had something special, dating all the way back, you know, 06, 07, going to these national tournaments, placing in the top five as the only single town team in some of these tournaments. So we really knew we had something special, but Ankeny hadn't seen a team like that in so long. And really what we needed was a coach to put us there. And Amy Farmer was the one. I mean, we know her success as a player, but I mean, I'd have to say, I think she was an even better coach.
Yeah, she certainly, you know, did a great job. Well, then as a sophomore, you batted .543 with 34 RBIs, and you set a single-season school record with 21 doubles. You also tied the school mark with six home runs, but you went on to smash that record the following year when you batted .582 and blasted 13 homers. You also set a school record with 51 RBIs as Ankeny went 35-8 and placed second in the Class 4A state tournament. Now, do you think the increase in your power numbers that year just came naturally from getting bigger and stronger as you matured, or do you think it was, you know, due to your evolution as a hitter or maybe a change in your approach at the plate?
A little bit of both. High school softball is really the first time that you see some of that good pitching. I felt like I was a hitter who thrived off better pitching. So as the pitching got better, it's almost like as a hitter, I got better too. But a lot of it was the approach at the plate. I remember one time my junior year, I don't remember if it was you interviewing me after a game or another gentleman from the Des Moines Register, but they had asked me, you know, what pitch was it that I liked to hit? And I loved like a low inside pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm like, low outside. I want that pitch low outside. Next two or three games, everything I got was low inside. And I think those were some of my best games ever. And then it's kind of funny because one of my teammates from college actually told me the story about how her coach told her she had to throw me inside because I said in the newspaper that I liked outside. So
maybe she gave away your secrets, huh?
Maybe part of it was lying in the Des Moines Register that got me some hits, but whatever worked in the end.
Well, yeah, for people that never saw you play, I still remember when you played. You just had the sweetest left-handed stroke. I mean, it was kind of the softball version of Todd Sears from back in the day when Ankeny played. He just had the sweetest left-handed stroke, and you had the same kind of stroke, I thought. But we guys knocked off undefeated Bettendorf in the quarterfinals that year en route to the runner-up finish, and you were named to the all-tournament team. Now, you guys didn't have any seniors on the roster that year, so you knew you'd all be coming back the following year. How motivating was that loss to Des Moines East in the final?
You know, extremely motivating. So I talked a little bit about, you know, growing up, we were really a group that always played together, and we played Des Moines East countless times. We knew how good each other were. We had an extreme mutual respect for each other. And, you know, a lot of those girls went on to have great college careers as well. But losing that state championship my junior year really lit a fire through the entire senior year. I think we were the number one ranked team the entire senior year. So the way we were able to bounce back from that and then just how well Shayla pitched in the state tournament both those years. I mean, how can you not have a fire as a team?
Oh, yeah.
Hitting behind a pitcher like that.
Well, you were named the Class 4A Co-Player of the Year as a junior. And then, hold on a second here, as I got to find my questions. All right, we're back. Sorry about that. So, yeah, you were named the Class 4A Co-Player of the Year as a junior. You also set a school record that was 70 walks that year, the second most all-time in Iowa. Now, I remember how often you got walked that year. You know, your average, 1.6 walks per game, and I know a lot of those walks were intentional. Did it ever get frustrating for you to get walked that much?
You know, it's funny. We talk about that now as I was at a wedding over the weekend, actually former teammate Emily Dorpinghaus, and it got brought up again. And we can laugh about it now because I think it was more frustrating for our parents than it was for me. But it did get frustrating sometimes. For me, it was always a challenge, though, of back when I played, they had to throw four pitches. And it wasn't a guarantee they were going to miss the plate all four times. So it's a bummer they changed that rule now that the pitcher doesn't have to throw four
right.
pitches because, you know, the pitcher can always mess up and get one over the plate. But it was kind of a bummer, but it always helped the team, and I knew I had hitters behind me that were going to knock me in.
Well, then as a senior, you had another great year, and of course, you guys went on to win the state title. You capped your career with the state title. And since Coach Farmer had already announced that she was leaving as well, you know, it was pretty much a perfect way for all of you to go out, wasn't it?
It really was, yeah. Coach Farmer, while she had that kind of a short stretch with Ankeny, it was really a perfect ending to it. I mean, she had her state title as a player, then we ended with our state titles as players with her as the coach. And like I said, she was really just that piece that we needed to set us over and get that state championship.
We had a home run in the quarterfinal win over Marshalltown and were later named to the all-tournament team again. Of course, Kendall had a great tournament as an eighth grader and was selected the captain of the all-tournament team. She matched your total that season with 12 home runs, and she obviously gave you some more protection in the middle of the lineup, you know, because you didn't get walked as much that year, did you?
No, I didn't. I mean, any lineup that you add Kendall to is going to be a much better lineup. I think that's true throughout her entire life, which that's awesome. But no, not as many walks that year, and it really, for me, allowed to have that better approach, and was exciting for me going into then my college career, being able to see some more pitches, because I knew in college they had to pitch to me.
Right. Well, you finished your career with 31 homers and 65 doubles, which were both all-time bests at the time, but you kind of knew that Kendall was going to, you know, smash that home run record eventually, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We knew it was coming, and I mean, she's, like I said, I mean, she's by far, in my eyes, the best player in Ankeny history, but just the things that she's done, absolutely phenomenal. But at the end of the day, you know, records are always made to be broken. And it's interesting with these kids coming up, if anyone can break her record too.
We had so many great players on that team, and you mentioned a couple of them there. Shayla Starkenberg went 31-0 on the season. She pitched three straight shutouts in the state tournament. She was also named to our all-time first team. You mentioned Emily Dorpinghouse, the second baseman, and shortstop Ashley Chambers were both named to our third team. And you had some other teammates that were considered for the team as well. Third baseman Erica Kurgan was a great hitter, too. And you guys wouldn't have, you know, even made it to state that year, 2011, right, without her, would you?
Right, yeah. So regional final, playing a home game. And that year, what a lot of people and what we didn't really realize was those regional games were extremely close games.
Oh, yeah.
But, gosh, she hit a home run over the left field fence, towered over the trees in left field to send us on to the state championship. And it's memories like those that we almost remember that game a lot better than we remember most of those state tournament games. Just the way it all happened, the crowd that we had there at Ankeny. Not that we didn't draw a great crowd up at Harlan Rogers and Fort Dodge, but, my gosh, that was something to remember.
Well, yeah, sometimes it's harder to win that game to get to state than
right,
it is the ones at state.
Right.
So. Well, then one of the memories of those state tournaments that you told me about was the scorching conditions, because it was brutally hot up there both of those years. And I'd kind of forgotten about that, maybe because it's almost always hot up there in late July. But I guess since you had to play in those conditions, you know, that's not something you're going to forget, is it?
No. And, I mean, Harlan Rogers has a little bit of almost like a red dirt to it. So the dirt's already a little bit naturally hotter. Field conditions both those years upwards almost 110 degrees, and it was, I mean, absolutely miserable to play in, but also just a little bit of a challenge and kind of fun in ways too. We always joke still as a team that we were probably the most hydrated team at that tournament. We played, you know, the Bean Boozled jelly bean game, where it's, you pick a white jelly bean, you don't know if it's going to be coconut or a nasty flavor.
Uh-huh.
we played that on the bus ride up both years, and I tell you what, our team came prepared. Whatever it took, we were willing to do it.
Well, in doing my research for the all-time teams, you know, I learned a few things about the history of the Ankeny program. You know, I knew all about the championships that the Hawkettes had won under Dick Rasmussen, but, you know, some of the details were new to me. Did you learn some things, you know, in reading about the all-time teams?
Yeah, I really did. Because, like I said, it was interesting because a lot of those players really played prior to 01. So for us, for the girls our age, the one we really looked up to was Kelsey Nurnberg. Just an outstanding pitcher for Ankeny in her kind of the early 2000s time frame, because we really never got the opportunity to see some of these women play. And so reading the stats and what they did for Ankeny, I mean, we came in first day of high school practice on the shed in left field was listed out all of Ankeny state titles. And seeing these stories that you put together really puts names and faces to those state titles. So it was really neat reading these three teams throughout the week and seeing where these state titles came from, because there are some really, really good athletes on there. And then talking with one of my coworkers, actually played for Ankeny 96 to 99. So hearing some of her stories about some of these players has been really fun this week as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Kelsey. She was certainly one of the pitchers that we considered, and she was a hard-throwing pitcher back in those days. And her teams just weren't all that successful. I mean, that certainly wasn't her fault, but mm-hmm. She just didn't have the talent around her that maybe some of the other
right.
teams, you know, have had. But, well, Allie, I know you graduated from Iowa State and are out in the real world now. So what are you doing now?
So I work at Des Moines Area Community College, work as an advisor there. Still definitely involved in softball in just about every way possible. I do a lot of individual private lessons. I coached a year as a volunteer assistant at Drake. I've had stints coaching at both Ankeny and Centennial. But most recently, I this past year with Iowa State, got asked to do their color commentating for all their home games. So it's been an interesting change for me, going behind the microphone instead of on the field. And I think I actually get more nervous on the microphone than I do in
oh, really?
The batter's box. But no, just staying busy with work, with softball. I built a house here in Ankeny, so staying around here.
So are you enjoying doing that broadcasting, though?
I enjoy it. I love it. Yeah, so I did, I did 12 games for Iowa State this year, and then I ended up covering three high school games as well for MediaCom.
Oh, okay. Well, I know the Central Iowa Sports Network is sometimes looking for people, too, that need some help. So, yeah, if they ever ask for help, I'll send them your way.
Sign me up.
Well, hey, Allie, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate your time. It's been fun to look back on those memories.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right, listen to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, well, my other guest today was a three-time All-State pitcher who played on several state championship teams at Ankeny. She won a perfect 17-0 in the state tournament during her career. She finished with a record of 139-10, the most wins in Ankeny's history, and her 933 winning percentage ranks among the best ever in the state. In 1997, she was inducted into the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union Softball Hall of Fame. She's Deb Schneider. Deb, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey,
thanks
you bet.
For having me.
Oh, you bet. Well, congratulations on being named to our all-time team. It was certainly well-deserved. But you seemed a little surprised to be named to our first team. You know, had you not ever thought about how your career stacked up against some of Ankeny's other all-time greats? I mean, when you look back at your career numbers, it was kind of a no-brainer.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored to be a part of this. There are so many good players over the years that to be named to this is quite the honor.
Well, you played on some great Ankeny teams under Dick Rasmussen and had a lot of great teammates, and we're certainly going to get into all of that. But I wanted to start out by mentioning that you and I were next-door neighbors growing up, and I remember all those hours that you spent in the backyard pitching to your dad. You know, didn't you guys have to move the pitching rubber around because you'd always wear the spots out in the grass, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we did. We moved it around and hit fences and threw them over the fences at times, but a lot of hard practice back there.
Well, no, I and some of my friends hit a few wiffle balls into your backyard too, so it's probably fair that some of your pitches went into our backyard. But now, did your dad kind of push you into softball, or did you kind of discover the sport on your own?
Actually, we started when the girls' youth program first started. I was in fourth grade, and it was just getting going, and I said I wanted to play, which surprised my mom and dad, and dad was actively involved and started playing then, and then from there, I just at one point decided I was interested in pitching, and so he helped me get started and worked with a couple men's pitchers over the years, like Galen Johnson and a couple others, and just continued to grow from there.
Well, you were named to the all-tournament team after Ankeny won its first state title in the fall of 1977. You know, did you know at the time that that was going to be the beginning of the Hawkettes dynasty, because you guys went on to win a record four straight championships from that point?
Well, I can tell you, earlier in that season, we had a turnaround point, I think, where we played, I think it was West Marshall, and we were the underdogs going in, and we said, we're not going to be the underdogs, and we took over and won that game. And from there on out, I think we just kept building upon that momentum, and it didn't realize we were going to get four straight, but yeah, we definitely had the courage and confidence and drive to move forward.
Well, you allowed just four hits in the entire 1978 state tournament, which tied the record for the 16-team tournament for fewest hits allowed. Now let's talk about your arsenal of pitches a little bit. How many different pitches did you throw back then?
I had four different pitches. I think today players have probably even more, but at that time I had a changeup, I had a drop ball, a rise ball, and then just my fastball.
Well, Coach Rasmussen told me that you could put the ball on a dime and give you a nickel change. That's a good quote. And he mentioned that your changeup was what made you so effective. And I do remember how good that pitch was. You know, I'm still amazed when I think back to those days, you know, how often you could throw that pitch. And it really was a slow changeup, but the batters just could never seem to catch up to it.
Yeah, it was a knuckleball pitch. And because my speed with my throw was just as fast as my normal, they didn't catch on to that, but it definitely helped me.
I'm guessing it took you a long time to perfect that pitch?
Oh, yeah. That one was easier to get, though, than the drop ball. I never did get the drop ball. There were many times when I'd throw that and it didn't drop, and then it would be a world of hurt.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, you compiled an ERA of 0.91 in your career, but another key to your success was obviously your teammates, you know, because you guys were able to score a lot of runs. One of your classmates was fellow Hall of Famer Sherry Anderson, and both of you girls had the opportunity to play with both of the Yorey girls because Mary was 2 years older, Connie was 2 years behind you guys, and Carlin Hayes was another Hall of Famer during that era, and one of her classmates, Wendy Turner, was another member of our first team. So you guys obviously just had an incredible amount of talent, didn't you?
We did, and I think from a pitching standpoint, you know, I wasn't a fastball pitcher compared to a lot of other players out there, but I remember Rass and my dad always saying, just let them hit it, and you've got great team members behind you. And I always did. They always came through and would get those hits that you thought were going to go through, and they would catch them and field them. So.
Well, yeah, you had Connie and Mary at shortstop who were like vacuum cleaners, and then
yep.
Carlin in the outfield who could run down any ball. So, yeah, it's nice to have teammates like that.
And there were, I mean, all around we had just good talent throughout the whole team.
Well, Carlin told me that when she looks back on those days, she remembers the sheer confidence that the whole team had whenever you took the field. You know, she said it was almost shocking whenever you guys, you know, lost. Did you kind of feel the same way?
Yeah. You know, when we lost, usually it was because we got too confident in ourselves. So it was a good eye-opening situation.
Well, I remember some other players, you know, like Cheryl Feldman, who was a very good second baseman. You know, she probably would have been the best player on a lot of other teams.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Well, then Coach Rasmussen told me that he was very fortunate that he couldn't have won all those championships without great players. But he was obviously a great coach, too. You know, I can't even count the number of girls who told me about the glare that, you know, Coach Rass had and how they would do everything they could to avoid it. But he just knew how to get the most out of his players, didn't he?
He was such a great and awesome coach. I know we never appreciated it growing up as much as I did when I started playing for other coaches. Then I really realized the leadership and what he did for the program. And I remember, you know, he'd come out on the mound sometimes when I was struggling, and he always knew when to push me, yell at me, do whatever, or when to encourage me he just seemed to have the right words and the right direction at every point we needed.
Well, I actually ran into Coach Rass's son, Brad, at the fair last night. I played basketball in high school with Brad, and I shared a story with him that I'll tell you right now. I was a tennis player back in high school, and there was one summer day when I was having a hotly contested match with one of my teammates, and I won't say his name because I don't want to throw him under the bus. But but anyway, my teammate was a guy who could swear a little bit, especially after he missed a shot or something. And well, the softball team was practicing on the field, you know, next to the tennis courts, and I have to admit that I probably swore once or twice too myself. And so after we got done playing, we're walking over to the water fountain to get a drink, and the softball team, they just finished practice, so they just happened to be walking by. And well, I got that glare from Coach Rass myself, you know, along with a few other stern words that we certainly deserved. So even if you didn't play for Coach Rass, you didn't want to get that glare.
No, you certainly didn't.
Well, Deb, Wendy Turner told me another story that I had never heard before. She said one year during the state tournament, some of the players snuck out of the dorm. They went to visit to some of their friends on the Urbandale team, I guess. Now, were you part of that group, or was that maybe the year after you graduated?
That maybe was the year after. I wasn't part of that.
Okay, because you wouldn't do anything like that, would you?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But yeah, we made some great friends with some of the other teams, so it was fun, you know, getting together at the state tournament and staying in those dorms and being able to chat with other team members. Always a good experience.
Yeah, because I don't think they do that anymore where the teams go up there and stay the whole week. I think they come back and forth now because they have a day off between games, so
yeah.
It's a different thing now. Well, I'm sure you continued to follow the Ankeny programs over the years, and of course, they had a great run in the mid-1990s. They won a couple of championships behind Jenny Voss and Amy Farmer. Mm-hmm. And then Amy eventually returned to Ankeny to coach the team, and she guided the Hawkettes to another title in 2012. That team was led by Allie Cappert, who was just on the podcast earlier. And that team had a rising star in Kendall Lindemann, who may end up being the most decorated Ankeny player ever, you know, if she isn't already. And, of course, Ankeny Centennial has a very strong program now as well. So did you learn some things about the history of Ankeny softball in reading about these teams?
Oh, definitely. There's... over the years, I tried to keep in touch, but you just lose track. I mean, it's been 40-some years or 41 years since I've graduated, so a lot's changed over that time.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long since we were
in
high school, huh?
I know.
Well, hey, Deb, it's been fun catching up. I enjoyed the conversation. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
You bet.
Bye.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker and MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Allie Cappert and Deb Schneider, two of the members of the first team on the all-time Ankeny Fanatic softball team. Enjoyed the conversation with those ladies, and I appreciate their time. Come back next week for another edition of the podcast. We'll probably be talking some high school football.